Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I mean that fervently. I love the handiwork of God. When I study the Word of God and I see things all that were there all along, the Lord has a specific plan. You know, when we first met the Holy Spirit, he was moving over the deep in Genesis chapter 2. And he was, Genesis 1 and verse 2, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. He was moving over the water, and then he never stopped moving. He continues to do the plan of God. A representation of the Holy Spirit is the dove. When Noah was looking for dry land, first he sent out a raven, a loud-mouthed raven. It went to and fro, just like the devil, looking for dry land, but he didn't find it. But when he got that dove, she went out. The dove went out. She went out and she went far. She came back. She was so tired that Moses put his hand out and got her and brought her back in because she wanted to go back. She wanted to go back. He waited 7 days and let her go again. And she brought back a fig leaf. And then she left and never came back. Now, the thing about the dove is this: relentless. The Holy Spirit is relentless in doing the will of God. And he's going to make sure that God is honored and people know him, that want to know him. Anybody reaching out to God, they always get the attention of the Holy Spirit. And I love it. When people reach out to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will notice it. If their heart softens, the Holy Spirit notices it. If their heart is open to hear the word, the Holy Spirit makes sure they have somebody in place that will speak the word of God. Now, I can tell you stuff like this all day, but when this is all over, when the Lord wraps his church and there's going to be stories of people are going to have testimonies of how they came to know the Lord. And you can always point to the Holy Spirit as the one who made sure that they were saved. Now, the people that are lost, in the course of their life, they continually resisted the Holy Spirit. And they stayed in deception. They didn't get saved. But see, when your heart softens, the Lord knows it. And, you know, in the course of my life, I've been on both ends of this thing. When I was a sinner, when I made my worst, about to make my life-changing worst decisions, or decisions that would have wrecked my life, the Lord would give me a thought. But see, my parents were praying for me. And the people around me that was praying for me and encouraging me, I thought of them. And the Lord helped me do it. I know what I'm talking about. Then, as a man of God, the Lord had people around me that helped me when my heart softened, to help me see things. And then, as I drew near to him, he drew near to me. As I asked questions, he put the right people. I was talking about how, all the people I met at Food Giant, my first job. That job was a blessing to me. I met the guys that's in my band. It was our band. It's not my band, but it was we made a band called Esquire back in the day. And that began I got saved and they got saved and started seeking the Lord. Three of us are ministers. And we get together and have Bible study on the first Sunday of the month. Thank God for them guys. They're good guys, good friends, people I trust, people I love. Then the Coke men, Mark and Charlie, I'll never forget them. you know, they came at the right time. Our hearts were softened, the guys that worked there. I counted about 20 guys got saved in that grocery store. Then the bosses, you know, they were good businessmen, good managers. And I've been desiring to work for management of that quality since then. They gave me a comparison. All the other jobs I had, the management was not as strong as theirs. Except for when I worked at a dealership, a guy named John McCutcheon, he was of that caliber. And I've had good bosses, but they gave me a greater standard to look to. And I thank God for it. And I've had good bosses, and you know, that helped me learn, but the management was over the top. It was good. And then I met Mom Powell, a customer who came with the with the love of God. She walked in God's anointing. You could see it in her countenance. That's not an accident. All of it is a move of the Holy Spirit. And then there are people I left out and didn't mention. They helped me too. At that store, I got saved. I ended up receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got good counsel, good encouragement, vision. Mention, you know, Mom Powell gave me a vision that you can have a relationship with the Lord. And other guys witnessed that you could have it. So all of this is by the Holy Spirit. He's still moving. Then, as a minister, sometimes people that I don't even think about, you know, not that I don't love them, but that it's just the Lord he'll show me their face and show me how to pray for them. The Lord wants to help them, and he asked me to pray for them to help so he can move in their life. I mentioned how I saw Connie. I hadn't seen her since I was about 10 years old because I stopped going to Utah, Alabama. And that's the end of the summer. I was 10 years old, and I hadn't seen her since, personally. I hadn't seen her until the Lord showed me a vision and told me to pray for her. See, the Holy Spirit is always moving. Then there are people that I love and know, and when they need something, when their heart is soft, at their weakest moments, when their heart is soft, the Lord have me to pray or to intercede or pray in the Holy Spirit so he can intervene for them. And sometimes he'll tell me what to tell them. The Holy Spirit is always moving. So I don't say that lightly. I mean it fresh every time I say it. That's why I said it three times. Because I start broadcast off honoring the Holy Spirit. You know, he's attracted to those who love him. Just like with Abraham. Now the Lord knows whose heart is soft and stable. Soft enough to hear him. Stable enough to hear him out. And do his word no matter what. And I like when people are that way. See, we're not strong in our own opinions. We're not strong in the ways of the world. We're strong in Jesus. We're not strong apart. We're fighting something that outclasses us, wit to wit. But Satan has no covenant. We do. We have a covenant. But we have to, the way ours works is we have to believe God for every situation. Our strength is always in him. There's no need to use your personal strength. Use his strength. Because when you use his strength, you can always outclass Satan. He has no covenant. See, the Lord will help us make the difference. Now, the Lord had me to go to Genesis chapter 12 just before I did the broadcast, and I started studying until I saw something that I never saw quite like this. And I'm going to see, the Lord found a man that he could trust and a man that could trust him. So Abraham believed God. And that's what it takes. The just shall live by his faith. Now, again, with faith, when you believe God's word, you believe it. Believing is unstable, but faith without works is dead. When you act on what you believe, it becomes faith. If you trust God, remember, trust is belief that comes from the past. You're trusting God because of the past. And the unique thing about trust is that it aids us when we don't know what we're getting into. See, if you believe God, you have an expectation of what you're getting into. But if you trust God, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into. And you're obeying God because of the past. Now, belief and trust, they're nouns. That's the noun side of faith. Believing God is a noun side of faith. Trusting God is a noun side of faith. It's not doing anything. But when you act on it, it turns into faith, whether you believe God or whether you trust God. Now, believing God is trusting God without the past. Trusting God is believing God because of the past. So now, let's go forward. Abraham believed God. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch this. This is the promise. This is where he looked to. He had an expectation. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. Then he said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now let's break down verse 3 again. The Lord is talking. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. In other words, Abraham, your heart is soft and stable. And I'm going to raise up a nation. And it's going to be a blessing to all families. I will bless them that bless thee. I will bless them. God expected his creation to be attracted to what God is doing in Abraham's life. Then he said, and I will curse him. I mean, that's singular. Him that curseth thee. You have an enemy out there. He is going to try to curse you, but I'm going to curse him because he cursed you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, I want to share something about the world system. I said yesterday that the world system, it operates by factions. The world system, let's go to John. He simplified and showed us what the world system really is. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And he explains to us something. In verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this is the world, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is the foundation of the world. Satan is against life, the life of God. He's jealous against man. He's jealous against us. So, he's jealous against the will of God. When God put Adam in the eastward in Eden, God planted a garden eastward in Eden. That's where, Lucifer used to be when it was called the Eden, the Garden of God, before God made man. So, God was showing Lucifer, which is now Satan, that God has replaced him. And now Lucifer is acting just like King Saul when God fired him and got a man better than him, which is David. It's the same kind of, it's Saul jealousy is what it is, or Satan's jealousy. So he's the enemy, okay? He's the enemy. People align themselves with the enemy through leaven bait. They're baited with something, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. If a person has the lust of the eye. Satan dangles bait in front of them, and they, when they fall for it, and they trust, they use Satan's bait for entertainment. 11 forms that undoes what God has put in them. It always works against life. When men start looking at pornography, for instance, the lust of the flesh, and they do it willingly and secretly, it becomes an addiction. It becomes something that drives them. It's a false god that they must serve. And they begin to protect it and justify it and include it in their life. And it hardens their heart. It changes their appetite. It changes their ways. And they know it's wrong, but they do it anyway. And so the person that once loved God is not as hot as he was. He's cooling down. He's becoming lukewarm to the point. See, that's a sin unto death. If you don't let it, if you don't repent from it, it's going to consume you. It's going to change who you are. And people will become an enemy of God because of their new god, the lust of the flesh. And so, the lust of the eye, they got to have everything they see. They can't rest until they get it. They want other people's property. They want money any which way they can get it. Or their possessions. They select. They try to use possessions to have solace. And they lose the peace of God slowly. And then they need these things to feel alive again. And they must serve their new god. So when people begin to prosper, if they change their focus from God to their prosperity and the people they get it from, like Saul did, they're looking, you know, Saul loved the power and the money, you know, and you know, kings can get, they prosper. And they're looking to people. Their focus is changed. So they're looking at the power that they're gonna receive, and they begin to lust after it. And they feel like they need it. And that's a god that they must serve against a god that loves them. So their new god says, you got to protect your new will here. So they become a slave to Satan. And they become another faction. Same thing with religion. You once loved God. You were in his presence. You began to learn. But if your focus ever changes and you start loving power and loving authority, or having authority over others and people looking up to you. See, Jesus, he cut all that off. He said, nobody's going to call you Father. Not in that sense. You know, you got to hate some things. You have to hate the things that's wrong. And you can't compromise with it. Somebody calling you Father for the reason of prestige. He told them this again. He said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and be aware of the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees is one faction. It's a worldly faction of Satan. The leaven of Herod is another faction of the world, of Satan. They both give allegiance to Satan. The man that fell into the trap of pornography, he has other reasons to serve. But he don't like Satan. He don't like his ways. He may hate the works of the other factions, but he's included. See, he is against Israel. And everybody that allows the world in their life somewhere, they're just another faction working under Satan's umbrella. And it's compartmentalized, just like our government. They have different factions. You know, people that have top secret clearance, they're compartmentalized. They may have information over here nobody has, and another group has information over there nobody has. And another group is way over yonder and on the other side of the world, thinking that they got the upper hand. They know things that nobody else does. They don't. The citizens don't know, and other people in the government may not even know they exist. But they're all operating under Satan. That's how Satan works. He has no control over those who love God, walk in love, and Jesus is their Lord, and they do what Jesus say, and they don't do what he wants. And that's how it is. Satan's system is compartmentalized. Even in other countries, he has power over other countries. 10 nations will give their power to the beast. But in their view, they may feel like they're in line or in league with Satan, and they're going to get a better deal than others. They may, the 10 nations may fight each other. They may go to nuclear war with each other, but they all gave their power to the beast, and they're going to work in sync to do his ultimate will. They may not even like each other. This is weird, isn't it? If it's weird to you, it was weird to me first when the Lord showed me how he works. See, when a person aligns himself with Satan, they do the same things. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want the teachers that's going to tell them the truth. They don't have appetite for people that's going to tell them to do what God expects. They're going to find somebody, a preacher out there, that go along with what they're doing. Now, I know this. I've been going to church all my life. I've heard what happened in other churches. You get a new pastor, he loves God, the deacons vote him out, and the people don't want him. I've heard a preacher tell me, a friend of mine said that he was going to preach at this church, and pastor called him in the office and said, "We don't say anything about the sisters. We don't talk about things that, you know, the homosexuals are doing. Or that we don't talk about adultery here." I've heard this with my ears. Another friend of mine told me that a pastor told him, "Now, when you go to the Baptist convention, things go on. We just look the other way." And then our pastors there with their secretaries, somebody else's wife, at the Baptist convention. The Baptist, a Christian organization, supposedly, convention. Some of them have prostitutes. The Baptist convention. Now, I've heard it from more than one source. How about that? I've heard it again and again, so to speak, from people that do not know each other. The mouth of two or three witnesses, it's established. It's a true thing. People are doing it. People wouldn't make that up against fellow believers unless it was actually happening. Now, so they have included themselves in God's kingdom, but they work against God himself. And this is the depths of what sin will do to a person. It will always cause you to be an enemy against God. Their hearts have become so hard. Not only them, I'm not just picking on Baptist people. This is a people problem. There are wonderful Baptist preachers that don't do stuff like that. And they don't fool around with people. They don't go around people that really love God. They make sure they run the other way, because they have aligned themselves with the enemy. But when people start compromising, their vote is a compromise. Their ways are compromised. Their conviction, compromise. The Lord put it to me this way: sincerity attracts sincerity, sincerity begets sincerity, and leaven begets leaven. Now, the Lord, as loving as he is, he tried to get peace. He see their doom ahead of time. And he tried to get people like me that love him to to warn them that don't love him to leave the world alone and come out. He's willing to forgive their sin, as low down as they really are. Well, but they always turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. And now, the lukewarm church won't budge. I'm not saying these things lightly. As the Lord told me to my face, there's nothing you can do for a lukewarm person at this point. He says you can't get them. I'm not trying to get them saved. Okay, I would love to. They're people, but they're bound in bundles to be burned. The purpose of my motive now, I believe God that I can't help lukewarm people at this point. When he said that they won't budge and he told me there's nothing you can do to get them saved, I believe what the Holy Spirit told me. They're going to be the justice hammer of God's going to fall on. And there's nothing I can do. I'm doing this for those that have ears to hear, because there's no need for you to get wrapped up and tangled up with death. See, again, the Lord told Abraham. He said, he that curseth thee. See, the curse always comes from Satan. And anybody who wandered into his network and his factions of the world. Says God said in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. There are many people that will love God's will. And I will curse him that curseth thee. So anybody that allows Satan to deceive him somewhere. From the wife that got in strife with her husband and won't forgive him. The husband that got in strife with his own wife and won't forgive her. See, they're entering into a network of lies that's going to harden their heart. And Satan is going to, as he gains control of their life, he's going to cause them to be an enemy against God. For their reasons. The person that lost a family member and then the enemies suggested to them that it's God's fault and God took them. I hear people say God don't go around taking people. In fact, if God take a person out, what he do? Just like Eli's sons, they harden their heart, then God harden their heart. Just like Pharaoh. They wouldn't repent because God was going to take them out. God was going to kill them. He's reacting to what they decided. And when you go so far, you can't come back. That's how it works. Eli's sons got under Satan's control. And God had to judge it. That's what happened. They wouldn't repent because God was going to kill them. They went, their sin was unto death. And they decided not to change. Pharaoh hardened his own heart of his own free will. And then God hardened his heart. So he'll stay that way. See, when the judgment hammer of God falls, it falls. And it's permanent. See, the people that wouldn't change their ways and change their heart, then God has to do something with them. It's important to understand these things. I don't like it. I mean, God don't like it. He don't rejoice in people's demise, but he has to deal with it. He will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And that means anybody that aligns themselves with the enemy, Satan. Satan is the one motivated against Abraham. The people didn't know what the blessing that was going to occur. See, people that go to hell, they go to hell because they align themselves with Satan. But because they align themselves with Satan, they also simultaneously become an enemy against God. And they don't know that they are working against their own salvation when they align themselves with Satan. So, and people follow Satan for their personal reasons. But remember, Satan's kingdom is a network of different factions. It's compartmentalized. People that get into religious pride, they want the power over the people. And, you know, just like a pig that's wallowing in the mire to the pig is good. And God don't care if I wallow in this mire for a while. And then the people that justify themselves in adultery, well, David had 7 wives, Solomon had 1,000. So God don't really care if I do this over here. Once you save, you always say, in their mind, they're going to heaven anyway. But they're not. See, the Lord's got a way that you can't get around. And they're tangled up with the world and they don't realize the danger that they're in. But this is what Paul, Apostle Paul, told Timothy, the upcoming apostle. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Dangerous business. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Very important. They won't listen. Why? Because they love the world somewhere. And the world always causes us to be an enemy against God. John pointed that out many ways. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your whole life. He'll teach you continually. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you in Jesus Christ.